We go to Washington, D.C. Ken Timmerman is the man we're going to be talking with. He covers geopolitical activities for us. Ken, wow, a headline today. Bashar Assad, president of Syria, says the Arab world is ready to join the fight against Israel.
Well, it's pretty extraordinary, Jimmy, to hear Assad make that type of statement. He has generally been cautious when it comes to engaging Israel militarily, as his father has been. You know, the border between Syria and Israel has been pretty calm for the past 30 to 40 years. So for him to make this kind of very dramatic announcement, essentially threatening Israel with war, I think shows either, it shows really one of two things. It shows either how weak he has become and how fearful he becomes for his regime, or it shows some kind of brazen self-confidence, which I don't think he possesses. So I think this shows more that Assad is on the ropes. He's trying to do what Saddam Hussein did when he was in trouble, which is to incite the Arab masses to back him against Israel, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere, frankly.
Yes, in the last couple of weeks, he's been talking about going into the Golan Heights. He told the Palestinians they could fight as the surrogates for the Syrian military there, set up their base in the Golan Heights. He's asked Hezbollah to come in and do the exact same thing. And then you've got Russia helping everything come together as well. It seems Russia selling not only the S-300s, and there's a debate as to whether they have been delivered or not, but now the Russians are saying, how about the MiG-29s to Syria? 10 of them are going to be available. Boy, this does not help anything. It kind of ratchets up everything, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and the Russians have a strategic relationship with Syria, which has been going on for decades. You know, they have always been Syria's arms supplier, and they've supplied MiG-29s before, so this is an additional group of MiG-29s, probably a more modern version. The S-300s that you mentioned, it now appears that they haven't yet been delivered. The Russians themselves are a little bit upset with Assad, again, for saying too much, for being too bold in his speech, and perhaps not bold enough in his actions by announcing that they had already been delivered. It looks now as if they've not been delivered, and they may come next year. What clearly I think the Russians are trying to do is to prevent any kind of Western umbrella over Syria, any kind of safe haven with a no-fly zone, because these missiles, the S-300s, would in fact pose a threat for Western air forces. I'm not particularly concerned for the Israeli Air Force, although they are taking this very, very seriously. They have shown in the past that they can deal with Syria's air defenses. They can go through S-300s, in fact, if they need to do so on a point-to-point basis. A massive strike, though, is very different. This does show an escalation. There's new weapons, a new sophistication of those weapons, and clearly an effort by Russia to internationalize the conflict.
And within the last 24 hours, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel sending a message to President Putin of Russia: if you give them those S-300s, we're going to go in and take them out. We will destroy them. But at the same time, there are political pundits in the Middle East saying that the Russian arms, and I think you alluded to it just now, that are being delivered are going to stop foreign intervention in Syria. And they are also saying the Russian weapons transferred to the Syrians could bring about war. So this whole region could break into a full-fledged war.
Well, it is disturbing, Jimmy. The other thing to remember is that the Russians generally don't deliver this type of weaponry and allow the recipient nation, in this case the Syrians, to man the systems themselves. In other words, you're going to see Russian crews on those missiles, and that is what is the real escalation, I think. If the Russians decide to actually deliver the missiles with their own crews in a situation which is verging on hot warfare, then I think you've got a situation ready to explode.
Wow, I did not think of that thought, that the Russian technicians are going to be there with that Russian technology to help the Syrians. Man, that sounds like a prophetic scenario found in God's Word. Meanwhile, in Tehran, they have deployed a massive number of missile launchers, and it looks like they're trying to threaten the Middle East. Saudi Arabia giving a warning that we don't want the Iranians to have a nuclear power capability, that weapon of mass destruction. Of course, Israel very much concerned about this massive number of missile launchers being put in place.
Well, that's right. The Iranians have now confirmed what my foundation, Iran.org, has been talking about for several weeks, the existence of a vast new missile field in Iran with as many as 300, more than 350 missile launch sites. These are either tunnels, they're silos, they're special garages where launchers can be hidden and come out and fire and scoot away to another location so they can't be hit in retaliation. This is an escalation of Iran's offensive military capability, and the Iranians are starting to throw their weight around as well and to threaten Israel and their neighbors with it. The Saudis, you mentioned, are very, very worried about Iran, and here's the bottom line on it, Jimmy. Don't wait for Saudi Arabia to launch its own nuclear weapons program if Iran, in fact, shows that it has a nuclear weapon. Expect them to do what they've threatened to do all along, is simply turn to Pakistan and say, how much for how many nukes?
Well, when you got the money, you are kind. I guess it's the golden rule. He who has the gold does rule what is going to happen. Before we leave the Middle East, I want to look at Europe and the Muslims taking over that part of the world. But let's talk about Iraq. Violence is seemingly getting everything ready for Iraq to explode.
It's really a shame what's happening in Iraq. The United States pulled out too early, and in that vacuum, chaos has taken over. We hear reports on the ground of Christian churches being attacked, of more Christians fleeing Iraq. There's already something like two-thirds of the Christian population has left. And the government in Baghdad has become a Shiite sectarian regime. And this is going to drag the country down. You're going to have more Shiite versus Sunni violence. You're going to have the Sunnis and the Shiites both attacking the Kurds. And frankly, there's no end to this unless you get some kind of consensus among the different groups to make peace and get rich. And I don't see that in the offing right now.
Well, it almost seems like the same scenario that was unfolding during the times of Saddam Hussein. The only thing you can say as a plus for Saddam, he kept most of it under control, and it wasn't because he was such a great power, but he was just a murderer, and he killed those who were in the opposition.
Well, that's right. And he murdered tens of thousands, in the case of the Kurds, hundreds of thousands of people to keep Iraq together. Look, this is a fragile country. It's an artificial country. It was created by the Brits after World War I, where they cobbled together these three disparate groups, Kurds, Sunnis, and Shias. And they are finding increasingly they have very little to hold them together.
Ken, there's a report out that the Muslims, and we're moving out of the Middle East now towards Europe, the Muslims seemingly are taking over Europe. Would you probably agree with that, or what are your thoughts about it?
You know, I lived in France for 18 years and go back frequently to France, and my wife is from Sweden, and in fact, I was in this neighborhood in Sweden where that was in flames this week, just north of Stockholm last year. And it's an immigrant neighborhood. The problem that you've got with the Muslim population in Europe, Jimmy, is that they are bringing their countries, their religion to Europe and not becoming European. The liberals in Europe and even some conservatives in Europe, such as David Cameron and Angela Merkel of Germany, would like to believe that they can assimilate this population, that they'll become good Germans or good British citizens or good French citizens, and that's just not the case. They come there bringing their country to France or to Britain or to Germany and imposing an increasingly radicalized version of Islam on their own communities.
And, of course, that does not bode well for the future. And the prophetic scenario that can be found in God's Word. Actually, it does bode well for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, but that is not a good thing for this world today. Ken Timmerman, he covers the entire world for us, geopolitical activities. He's out of Washington, D.C., and we so appreciate his insight. Ken, thank you so much, my good friend.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's always good to be with you.